right. For those of you that are listening to the podcast, I want you to kind of look back over the course of your life and think, was there a time that I had to have my vehicle jump-started because the battery was bad? Because the core is bad, it needs to be changed out. I believe that the Spirit of God is saying in this hour, and Pastor, how is this going to be when it's just a battery? But I believe that the church needs to change its core and quit mixing some things of the old and trying to bring it into the new. If we do things religiously, doesn't mean that God is going to bless it. But maybe we were hanging out in the old when it was new. But we like the old because it used to be new. But God has moved on to a different thing. But we're still stuck in the old. And some of the things that God has been trying to get us to learn or to do differently, we have not yet accomplished because we're still stuck in the old. So the core may not have its cranking power or the stored energy or the capacity to start what needs to get moving. Anytime you have a dream or a vision concerning a vehicle, it represents ministry. So I begin to ask God, what is going on with the vehicles, with the batteries? He says, it's time to change for something new. But don't mix the old with the new. And when you get the new, it's time to reset everything that's attached to it. You understand? Especially if you got those digital clocks in your car. Try to figure out, you got to get to this menu to get to the next menu. The next menu takes you to the next menu just so you can change your clock. I said, God, I just want everything to just happen just like this. Put the battery on, everything just go back to its original setting. Some things you have to work at. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 2, the Gospel of Mark, second chapter. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. If you have this on your electronic devices, go to the Message version. And when you're there, say amen. Mark chapter 2, and then we're going to begin at verse 18. When you're there, say amen. For the three of you that got it, let's get going. Mark chapter 2 out of the Message Bible in verse 18 says, the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees made a practice of fasting. Some people confronted Jesus. Why do the followers of John and the Pharisees take on the discipline of fasting, but your followers don't? Let's hold on a second. See, the disciples of John, this is John the Baptist. He had some followers. John is now within the city as opposed to being out in the wilderness. Are you following this? When John was in the wilderness, he was a prophet beginning to declare what was to come, who was to come, what we're to look for. Was he not? He was a little strange. What was his attire? Do you remember that? Skins, animal skins. What did he eat? Locusts and honey. Have you ever felt, for some of you prophets in here, that some of the things that God gives you to eat and to sustain yourself is not what everybody else is eating and being maintained with, but you yourself have to go and get something different? Because you're a little bit different. You understand what I'm saying? See, but when John was in the wilderness and doing God's will, he was declaring God's word. When he came into a new region, and comes into a city of influence with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he's no longer speaking the word of God of thus saith the Lord. Now he's conforming to the ways of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, what are they saying right here? That they're asking Jesus, how come your disciples do not fast? Do you see that? How come they're not disciplined in fasting? A religious act that they would do all the time. Have we got caught up in doing things religiously and saying that it's God? See, we've got to change the core. We got to change the core. Don't get so comfortable in doing something and saying that God said to do it because it used to be the way you used to do it when God said to do it then. It's got to be changed now for what he's saying now. So now look at how wonderful Jesus gives a wonderful explanation. Are you at the Message Bible? Some of y'all in your who does not have the Message Bible with them right now? Get with someone who has it. Somebody got it? Somebody got it that you can share with? Okay. Can you share? I want them to read it so they know that I'm not just making this up. Are we ready? Message Bible, Mark chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading it verse 19. Now, this is his response to the followers of John and the Pharisees. Watch this. Jesus said, when you're celebrating a wedding, you don't skip on the cake and wine. You feast. Let's see, Jesus loves me. When you're at a wedding, you don't skimp on the cake. That's why they have two cakes. One for the bride, one for the groom. Traditionally, what is the color of the cake? Usually white for the bride. And the groom, chocolate. Did y'all feel the Holy Ghost? I felt it. You see, now what he's saying is, when you're in the presence of God, and you're in his presence continually, what is the need to sacrifice when he's already with you? He's saying, what is he saying? Have the cake and the wine. For some of those religious folks, in there, oh, but he didn't have real wine. Stop it. He said, feast. Later, you may need to pull in your belt. But not now. As long as the bride and the groom are with you, you have a good time. Isn't that good? So when you go to the wedding, eat. I ain't going to say the next part because some of y'all may indulge. He says, but you have a good time. And then he says this, no one throws cold water on a friendly bonfire. See, Jesus had a way of saying some things that just like, this gets to me. Why not just answer them? Do you know that this is the very first parable that he speaks of? In the Bible, this is the first parable that he speaks of. We've been on the parables, have we not? And he's speaking of parables so that he can speak something to them that maybe they don't understand, but the ones that are listening will hear. So here we are at a wedding. And he's saying that as long as you're with the bridegroom, have a good time. This right here, this scripture alone, should get rid of all those sour-looking Christians out there like they've been eating so many lemons and they don't want to enjoy the presence of God. Did they walk around like, the Holy Spirit's on me right now, so strong? Would you just enjoy your life and quit being so spiritual? This is what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying, you know what? You act all these things out in a religious attitude and a religious reason, but you're not enjoying my presence. Here I am. But you're so caught up in an old system, an old way. The core has to change. Do you understand? Basically, he's saying, your vehicle in which you're driving, your ministry, something's got to change. Because I'm doing something new. If you want to operate out of the old, all that stored up energy to get things going is going bad. I've got something fresh in you for you. Matter of fact, where was John during this whole time? See, John wasn't asking the question. It was his followers asking the question. Where was John? He was in prison. In prison. Why? Because he came into a region to follow after the one he declared that was coming came, but he began to listen to those around him and listen to the teachings in the city as opposed to following the God that spoke to him. Do you understand? What has happened as we continue on in this journey as believers in Christ? We get so caught up on having things done the same way all the time. If it's done differently, it's not God. I started doing a study on all the revivals from way back when. Even though great healings, great deliverances, did you know what the common denominator in revivals were? Silence. Silence. How many of you like silence? You like silence? You do? You like silence? Okay, thank you. Say it again. It depends. Because some silence is so loud that it gets uncomfortable. I was at the new place. I was closing up everything after the meeting we had on Monday and turning off lights. It got real quiet. I had my son, Michael, go turn off the lights upstairs. We're the only ones in the building. We're downstairs and you can hear him running upstairs. So he comes running down the steps outside the doors, and we look at him. What's wrong with you? Man, it's scary up there. What do you mean it's scary? I turned that light. It was dark. I just ran straight down the steps, and I went right outside. I see you scaredy cat. You going up? And he looks at me. You going to go up there? Nope, I ain't going either. Because when you're in a big place called self, even silence in your mind gets scary. Now, these revivalists that were preaching these revivals, there wasn't about, oh, the glory's coming. No. Guess what the topic always was about? Sin. That we had to repent. I said, well, no wonder why the church was quiet. No wonder why every revival, the common denominator was silence in the church. Can you imagine the preachers today? I'm guilty of it. Y'all quiet in here. Josh, get up here. Because I'm like, oh, he's too quiet for me. This is honest truth. Why? Because silence gets loud. It gets loud. It gets to the point like you don't like it. It gets awkward, doesn't it? When the elder stopped blowing the shofar and you knew the song was supposed to start, you're like, uh-oh, what's happening? Something's going on back there. Something's wrong. Mind starts going, right? Because it's quiet. It's not doing what it's normally supposed to be doing, right? See how we have a pre-planned outcome before the outcome happens. So when you're praying and God doesn't answer, or you're seeking and you can't find, you're fasting and nothing's changing, you're praying so loud, crying so loud, you even get to the point, forget it, I'm tired of crying, I'm tired of praying, so I'm just going to be still. That's the hard part. What you're experiencing at that moment is exactly what the prophet did when he was running from Jezebel. I'm just going to kill myself. He gets to now the cave, and all this noise and commotion goes on, but God wasn't in it. God was trying to teach him something different. You know me in all the commotion. You know me in power demonstration, but you don't know this side of my character. And where did he show him that character? In a cave. In a cave. Could you be in a cave, Raimi, by yourself? Nice and dark. That no one's around to even speak to you. You might be talking to yourself, but that gets old after a while when you answer all your own questions. But what happens when nothing is going on and there is no response? We get conditioned to the old. In that condition to the old, we try to crank up things that we know that used to work. Well, if I jump up and down and holler and scream and the Shondas and the Hondas, something's going to happen. I'm going to get my answer. We do it. I'll tell you right now, I can look across this room and tell you, you'll do it. You've done it. Some of you are doing it. Because we don't like the silence. It's just like when you find out you need a jump in your car. Nothing. Isn't that the most frustrating thing? That you know that when you turn that key, what's supposed to happen didn't happen. How is our walk with God? When what's supposed to happen doesn't happen, and it's quiet, and you don't hear anything, but you're believing, and you're doing everything that you know to do, the core has gone bad, and it's time to make some change. So this is what he's answering them. Now, this is just still on the fact that I'm here, and as long as you're with me, why have to go through all of that? Spend time with me, and you'll learn more about me. He says, now this, no one throws cold water on friendly bonfire. This is kingdom come. Can you just... I would have been there like a dog that turns his head, huh? This is kingdom come. Makes no sense here. Then he says this in verse 21. He says, he went up. No one cuts up a fine silk scarf to patch old work clothes. How many of you would put a silk on a torn jeans? Doesn't fit, does it? Just doesn't even look right. Much less that the silk is delicate. Delicate. What is he saying just with that analogy? He says, you've been working so hard. You've been roughed up. You've been going through some tough times. You maybe skinned your knees sometimes. But you can't put something that's fresh and new onto something that is old because you'll destroy the new. What is the new? The new is so delicate that it's presented like silk. Where does silk come from? A worm. And it takes a long time to produce it. A long time to produce new revelation. New revelation can't be put on old things. So if you can't be putting it on old things, should you have the expectancy of the old for the new? Can't. You can't expect something old to have the fresh revelation and move about in that new revelation. John, the beloved. He's the one that says he's the disciple that Jesus loved. Nobody else writes about it. But he had an understanding that when you're in his presence, you know that he knows how much you love him. Even though everybody else just wants to get to understand, when are you coming back? He's
I just want to know you while you're here. Can we get to know him while he's here? I believe that the revivalists of old were beginning to get into the very nature of people's character. Whether it be their sin, whether it be their old ways. And when they begin to speak about it, it began to make them question, is this really me? Is this really my nature? It made them get to the point where I can't do this no more. Either I change or I continue on in my life and things don't change in my life. When real conviction comes, I'm sure it'll make you really think, wouldn't it? When the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, it makes you really think. Why the conviction of the Holy Spirit? That's your jump start. He's trying to get you to say, hey, there's some things going wrong. If you change that, we won't have to keep giving you a jump start. I'll change the core. I'll change the value that you're holding on to. I'll change what you've been doing as a learned behavior. I'll change it by letting you know that I'm the one that can reach in and make a change. Isn't that good? Because I've tried it my way just to get delivered. You know how we do? We try to lay hands on ourselves, put oil on our head. God says, let me do it. I'm going to reveal to you where in your core there's error. Where there may be a malfunction. Where will cause other things in your life not to function. That's what a battery does. It causes every other component in the car to work. What are we willing to give up? Are we willing to stop the sin in our life? The knowing ones. The sins of commission. Not omission, the ones you don't know. But he'll reveal them to you. All I know is that I want God to continue to work on my core so I can become new. So when we got baptized on Sunday, I said, God, I don't want to be the same. I'm not going to go through this just because this is the right thing to do. A religious act. I'm doing this because I truly believe that watery grave is everything that needs to go in that grave. I don't want to pick it back up. How many of you experienced something like that? You just let it go. And you don't go back to it. You trust that it changed you. You trust that what you went through wasn't a religious act. It was because you truly wanted to be closer to Jesus. That's what it is. It's not to say that your sin is keeping him away from you. The fact of the matter that we have sin, he's saying, come to me. All those that are burdened. All those that have all this within them that they can't get out. I'll help you. But you first have to surrender. Once you surrender, he'll work in you. Will he work on you if you don't surrender? Well, he'll still work on you because you're his. It won't be the easy part. It'll be that one where, oh, let me get in there, really, really get in there, because you don't want to listen. How do I know that to be true? Well, we all fight against him really doing something in our life, because he gets to the one that is really, really special to you. You know that one little sin that nobody knows, we just hide it. Ain't nobody going to see it. We just make it look nice and pretty. Wash it, press it, put softener on it. Just smells real good. And oh, looky here. That's not sin. That's a beautiful garment. He says, not when I look at you thinking your righteousness is good. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. But my righteousness, not filthy rags. It's beautiful. It's splendorous. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of. But why do we hide the things that he's been trying to get at? Because our core value is, as long as I'm in control, He doesn't have control over me. But the reality is, he's saying, I don't need you to be in control. Let me be in charge. Let me be in control of your life. I'll begin to make changes that you don't need, that you don't even know that you need it. We say, what, ignorance is bliss? No, it ain't. Ignorance makes you just don't know. Does ignorance save you? No. What saves you? Knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge that he is the Son of God. Not ignorance. Well, I didn't know, so let me in the gates. No. No, you had every opportunity to know him. And then he says, Jesus says this, when the people came running up to him, we prophesied in your name, we casted out demons in your name. What did he say? Depart from me, for I never knew you. What's he talking about? Relationship. Sure, everybody's on, you know, Lord Jesus. I went to a psychic one day. Yeah, I wanted to know if I was going to marry the woman of my dreams. Thank God I didn't. That wasn't my dreams. I'd have been worse off, Lord. So I go to this psychic. How do you know any better? Ignorance, right? Ignorance keeps demons away, right? No. You open a door, they don't care whether you're ignorant or not, they come in. So I went to this psychic, and the psychic says, we pray to God for the answers. Okay, then this is okay. This is okay. And God said, I said, God said? Oh, I'm going to believe this now. Now I'm all excited because God said, you're going to be married? And that woman that you've dreamt about, that is your spouse. That's your soulmate. So I left her real excited. After $25 later, I gave it to her. And, yes! I go to this woman that is in my dream, supposed to be my soulmate. We're supposed to get married. The devil from hell. I said, this can't, that's not God. Didn't even know God. Doesn't know. Yeah, we make mistakes. But I opened up a door and I didn't know it. Whoo. Some of y'all need to hear this. There's some backgrounds in your life that you've opened some doors you didn't realize. Ooh, and your soul has been enriched by all these demon lies. And what happened? I began to go through a series of all kinds of demonic attacks, and I didn't even know it. All kinds of stuff. And the woman that was supposed to be my wife, supposedly, crystal ball and whatever, whew, she was bad. I mean bad. I thought I was bad. She was bad. I said, oh, this, no, no. You and I just can't even be together. Matter of fact, I don't even like you no more. And you know that when I said, I don't want nothing to do with this no more, I didn't know what I was saying. I should have never went to that psychic lady. She took my money. I want nothing to do with her, and I don't want none of that stuff. I want to just shut that door to this thing. I didn't know that I was closing the door to the demons that were coming into my life. Ignorance don't save you. It's the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ. They pray supposedly to a God. But because they say God, that doesn't mean it's your God. Do you understand? So when Jesus addresses them, we prophesied in your name. We casted out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. He said, apart from me, I never knew you. In other words, you use my name to get results. You use my name to get results. Are you hearing this? The name of Jesus has power. And if you know it has power, it doesn't matter whether you're following, whether you're listening, the power is still going to do its work. You understand that? But what he said to them is, depart from me, that you will never even enter the kingdom of God, because you didn't know me. What is he saying as he is addressing it here in the very first parable? He's saying, as long as you're in my presence, enjoy and feast, get to know me, get to spend time with me, understand who I am, I'll begin to make change in the core. I'm beginning to make change in everything that is stored up for where you're going. So I believe what God is saying in this hour is that I'm about to make change, but you can't put something so delicate on things that are worn and torn. You've got to make sure that you change yourself. What did Jesus do? When Jesus was going towards the cross, he had to go into the garden and he had to submit his will. And it wasn't until he submitted his will that they came to get him. It's not easy. But how many of us want to let God do his will? For such is the kingdom of heaven, is that we do his will. Let's work on his will. The good, acceptable, perfect will of God. There's a will that's not acceptable. It's permissible. Do you want the permissible? Because if you have the perfect will of God, things begin to just happen for you, and they begin to fall into place for you. Even though it could be hard times, it could be some hardships, but things fall in place. But if it's permissible, you're going to suffer some things that you're going to realize that God is blessing you because you're his, keeping you because he's your daddy. But he's not giving you the favor after favor after favor for the right doors to be open and the wrong doors to be shut. That's what the perfect will of God does. The will of God shuts doors that you shouldn't enter. And it opens doors that you're supposed to enter. That's the good and acceptable, pleasing will of God. Why pleasing? Because when you're walking in his footsteps, doesn't matter what you're going through, doesn't matter if your car troubles are really, really bad, as long as you're in that perfect will of God where he's ordained for your steps to be and you're walking it out, what is he going to do? He's going to bring that peace and that joy to you that you can walk through that storm no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like inside, you're going to come out on the other side. No matter how things get in you physically, mentally, emotionally, he is going to get you to the other side. Things will change. He will change the core. Some things in your life don't look like God ordained it, but you will find out on the other side, whoo, that he was making change on the inside. Every storm comes to prove his character, his deity. Cry out his name. He will answer. Seek me, you will find me. Knock, and I will answer. What happens when we're not knocking? What happens when we're not seeking? We're not pursuing. We've been sitting there and not operating on what God has given us. The next parable I'm going to teach next Thursday is going to be on your talents and your minas. There's a difference. Minas, M-I-N-A-S. Parables he spoke concerning the kingdom of heaven because they didn't get it. And my question to God in this is, why haven't we as a church, as a people, body of Christ, have not had the full understanding of the kingdom of heaven? My understanding is if I understand what God is doing, I should be moving in that direction. The church itself should be moving in the direction of God. Not in the direction of what we think, but what the Spirit is leading us. But I've seen too many times that churches are so divided. They can't even get along because of beliefs. Or they can't get along because the way their style is different than the other. But if we're following after Jesus, it doesn't matter how you get there. Let's just get there together if we could, right? If the church, like we said on Sunday, was to enlarge and grow beyond its capacity and within the laws of the seed so that we can be a tree to those that come and seek shelter, then we need to grow to that capacity. But if we don't have that capacity within us, then we're not growing to it because we're stuck in an old way, trying to put on in the new. Don't put something old and try to put it in you. Don't put something new and try to put it in old. The next thing he talks about is the new wine. The new wine in old wineskin. What happens to the skin? It bursts. When does it burst? When the grapes begin, the wine begins to ferment. What is that saying? It begins to expand, just like the leaven. The same as the leaven, when you're put into something and holding, and when you're in a holding pattern with God, you may not feel like you're growing, but you're going to begin to expand, and what was once there to hold you can no longer hold you. Oh, I wish I had some folks that understood. Because you have been in a place of holding, but God placed something inside of you. When he speaks of wine, he's speaking of revelation. He's speaking now of a new covenant that he's given you for your new joy. So now we're talking about back to the wine that's in the wedding feast. Do you want to be filled or you want to be empty? Oh, I want to be filled. Why do I want to be filled? I don't want to be filled with what I think I need. I want to be filled with what he has for me. True? But what if you don't know what he has for you? Are we just going to sit there? Have you ever left a vehicle sitting for a long period of time? What happens to the battery? It dies. Why? Because it's been sitting. But in the case of the kingdom of God, if he calls you to sit, you're not dying, you're getting ready to expand. Ooh-wee. Have you ever been put on hold? Have you ever been put on a shelf? And you think, I'm not doing anything for the kingdom of God. Yes, it's working on the inside to begin to make you expand. See, that's why I believe that the kingdom of heaven is like the leaven. People say, no, that's sin. Good. Let it be sin in your life, because that tells me that the kingdom of heaven is coming for my sin. And it's going to allow me to grow in the knowledge of the kingdom so I have an understanding that I can't be the same anymore. So then if the wine that was within me, the joy that was once there, if it sat too long, I would think it's going to spoil. What was the first miracle of Jesus? Turning water into wine. But what was it? It was the best for last. So if you've been going through some things in your life, and you don't quite have the answer or understanding, and you felt like you've just been sitting, I don't have the energy, I don't even have the desire, I don't even have the passion to pursue. Don't fret, because he's just getting ready to expand you. And as he is expanding you, you're about to burst forth with something fresh in you. But I will tell you the truth. The expanding process is painful. It's painful. Why is it painful? Because it's something new coming forth. It's just like a mother having a baby. The whole structure is changed. The skeletal structure is changed. Does a woman's body go back to its original form? No. 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 Some of y'all are like, hey, what you talking about? No. It's not the same. I'm not talking about the outward appearance. Some of y'all look like, well, after about the fourth, you know.
The skeletal structure changes. It's not the same. You know what I'm telling you? That when God is about to do something in your life, it's going to be painful for a minute. But something is about to break forth and is about to change your structure. Your structure. What is he saying? From the inside out, the core is about to change. That it can't go back to what it once was. What if the wineskin bursts? Can it go back to what it was? No. Can the leaven be taken out of the loaf after it's expanded? No. You ain't gonna like this one. Say yes to Jesus and really believe. Really confess with your mouth. Can heaven be taken away from you? No. People are trying to tell you, you're going to lose your salvation. My question is, did you ever have it? Because if you really had salvation, you would know that the kingdom of heaven resides inside of you. Because you really accepted him. And because you accepted him, you have allowed his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to convict you in the areas of sin and ways of your life and your character that need to be changed. I know, Pastor. Preach yourself happy. I am. Ain't nobody talking. I'll talk to myself. I know that when I'm going through a process with God and I'm about to grow in God, it's painful. You're playing football now, aren't you? Those muscles starting to ache on you? How about you had cramps lately? Quite often. Yeah, cramps start happening because your muscles are now going through a process that they haven't been utilized before. They start cramping because now the nutrients that were necessary when you were at rest are more demanding. And if you don't put what is necessary for that growth, you're going to go through some pain. Matter of fact, those Charlie horses, those cramps come when you're trying to I had them. And I had to jump up out of bed and start walking on it. Because the crap was so bad. It was so hard. What was hardening? The muscle fibers were hardening. Why were they hardening? Because there was something lacking that needed to get to it. And said it needed some movement. And as you begin to move, it begins to release the tension. But what is it actually doing? It's making the muscles grow. Can't go back to what it was. Because the fiber's already been stretched. Gives you the opportunity for growth. Your core is changing. We're getting ready to get something new. We as the body of Christ. This didn't come because, oh, Pastor, you're preaching this because you're moving to a new location. No, I'm not. I'm preaching this because I know there's some things that are going on in the body of Christ that he's saying that some things need to change now. Not later, now. You're going to find relationships are going to come into your midst that you haven't seen in ages are going to show up. They're just going to show up. Why, God? Why are they here? Why all of a sudden they're here now? Because there's purpose to it. There's some purpose to why relationships all of a sudden show up. God, what happened? You stepped into his timing. You step into his timing, now the growth is about to expand. What you've been waiting on, what you've been holding on, what you've been sitting on, now is about to come forth. Some of these relationships are the ones that you pushed away. Maybe you tore away from them. But some of these relationships, if they were God relationships, he brings them right back. We're about to experience that in the body of Christ. I believe this to be that of the prodigal son and the prodigal father. Relationships are coming back. Oh, Pastor, you're talking about people coming back to your church. No, I'm not. I'm talking about people coming back into relationship where they belong. Some of the marriages that need to be restored are going to be restored. Some of the relationship with children and parents are going to get restored. Some of these things are about to take place because it was necessary, because they've been in a pattern of holding on, waiting. But now the expansion has taken place, and now there's something that is birthing forth so you can experience what God wanted for you all along. The core is changing so that we no longer have to get a jump start. We are now operating at full capacity. That's what the church is about. That's what the kingdom of heaven is about. There's a change taking place. Let it happen. Let them get to the area that needs to get dealt with. We said that in a battery, there's water and there's acid. Okay. She missed that. The water is to generate current, energy. It circulates and it generates more energy. Holy Spirit, that's what he does. What is the acid? Your bitterness, your anger, your disappointment. If you don't have enough water in your battery, the acid bubbles to the top. What is seen? What is deep within the core. That's what comes up. But if everything is operating at its proper function, you don't see bitterness, you don't see anger, you don't see disappointment come bubbling to the surface, because everything is in check and everything is in balance. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Let me be the filler of your core. And as I feel that, I'll deal with the bitterness, I'll deal with the disappointment, I'll deal with the anger, and I'll bring healing back to you. That's the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? All because people are having battery issues. Lord Jesus. But I believe that what God is saying, like I just said, if there's some things that are changing in the body of Christ, but he's getting to the core issue. Amen. When the relationship starts showing up in your life, you're going to know it. You're going to know it because it's one of the relationships. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. When that relationship gets back into your life, it's purposed. Don't get it twisted. I didn't say go get married. No, I said it's purposed. His purpose. Let him reveal and you walk out the steps that he's ordered for you. Amen. There's restoration coming back with relationship. Restoration. You receive it? I know I do. I receive relationships back in my life that are supposed to be in my life, will be in my life. The ones that are not, discern. Lord, is this the one that needs to be in my life? Or are they on the outside of my circle? Let me be an influence if they're not the one supposed to be in my life. If God is bringing people to you, the enemy's going to bring people to you too. Be prepared.